Holy Trinity with you this morning.
Often we think of God's will as some overarching plan for our lives. We tend to focus on the big picture, and we forget very easily that God's will for us is really revealed day by day, moment by moment. It's discerned through a daily, if not moment by moment, relationship and participation in the life of the Holy Trinity through His church. Keeping our eyes focused in faith on Christ, cooperating with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The word that St. Paul uses to describe this relationship of cooperation in today's epistle is synergoi. It's where we get the word synergy from, saying we are God's fellow workers and describing the relationship of cooperation that is meant for us as Christians. Now, this is no 50-50 relationship. We're not equal with God. We cooperate with God's work in us through our obedience to His teachings, to His church, to the hierarchy, so that we can be pastored, in order so that we may grow in Christ's likeness and change, conforming ourselves to God's will. Obviously, this is a great challenge, but it's a necessary one if we're to grow in Christ and be deified and be able to work out our salvation. If Christ, showing us the way, submitted Himself to the Father in all things, how much more should we submit ourselves to the church? Now, as Westerners, we all tend to struggle with having a teachable spirit, with grafting ourselves into the church that is above culture, that is above time, just as we struggle with the idea of being part of a family, a community in the church, because so much of this is broken down around us in the culture. And let's face it, we see it everywhere in all of the statistics. We struggle with this particularly, I think, as Americans. But this means that you and I have an even greater need for the church, living in this culture that promotes the autonomy of the individual over our sense of connection with family, place, community, church. We have an even greater need to trust God and His work in us through the church, even as we are so often influenced by so many winds of doctrine around us. For this reason, an Orthodox priest, as father of all those communicants of the church he pastors, isn't here to give you his opinions about Christ, about the church, about the Orthodox faith. Rather, he's here to strive to give you the truth, to love as Christ loves, to teach, to preach, to assure as a father in Christ in keeping with the sure path that's been entrusted to us. God loves us too much to just leave us to our own devices. Instead, He gives us pastors, spiritual fathers, confessors, to teach us accountability in His church, if we're open to receiving that guidance. The tenets of orthodoxy can certainly be learned in books, but the heart of orthodoxy is learned through humility and godly obedience, and thereby cooperation with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so, apropos, St. Paul reminds us today, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, as I strive to build into each of you, all the parishioners of this church, I'm called and responsible to Christ God and to my bishop to give you the fullness of the truth of Christ, even if you struggle with it or, God forbid, reject it. Think, for example, of the encouragement to pray daily that I need, that you need, to come to Vespers, to make regular confession, to prepare to receive the Eucharist properly so that it can be of use to us, to put Christ first, to witness to the truth that he is, to come before Christ's presence in the outward dress and inward humility that we see in the icons of the saints around us. All these admonitions that are part of the timeless truth of our faith can all be challenging. But these tools of our salvation are so vital. So great is our challenge today to live for Christ in the secular world where it's so hard for us to build community and model healthy family life in Christ. For our part, we're each responsible for how we build on what we've received. That's what St. Paul reminds us of today. How we act on what we've been taught of that truth of Christ that he has entrusted to us for our salvation. And so realizing what's at stake, we prioritize the kingdom of God over all that's temporal, over all that's passing away, so that we may become inheritors of that kingdom and help others to find their way into the kingdom as well through our example of struggle, of repentance, of faith. Our cooperation, our daily, even moment by moment, yes to God, is predicated on such faith, or at least the desire for such faith. And faith is one of those big concepts that often eludes us as Christians. Faith means letting go of our control, of our thinking that we can solve our own problems on our own without God, or that we can improve ourselves on our own without God, of preferring our own wills over that of God's will. Taking a big step of faith can likewise induce fear. The more pride grips us, has a hold on us, the more we can fear the spiritual surgery that God may be doing in us to grow us in cooperation with his work in our lives, to heal us, to save us. The disciples, for their part, were in almost constant fear following Jesus. And they were in constant need of more and more faith. They seemed to be placed in one perilous situation after another. And in today's gospel, we find them tossed about on the sea, the waves and the wind, making them much afraid. And to add to their fear, Christ is seen walking to them on the storm-tossed waves. So imagine for a moment their fright. They assume he's a ghost. Christ's words to them, though, are comforting. Even as they are to us in our struggles with more trust, with more faith, with receiving from God what you and I need to be able to heal from our sin sickness and grow in Christ. He assures them saying, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Literally, Christ says here, "I am." He uses the divine name of God. Who else has the power over the laws of nature? And still dubious, Peter calls out, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And the Lord gives Peter what he asks and commands Peter to come. This is a big step of faith on Peter's part. And Peter walks on the water. We often forget this when considering this passage. Peter, for a few steps, exhibits the faith necessary to get to Christ, to walk on the water. He keeps his focus on Christ. But when Peter gets distracted, in this case by the winds and the waves, taking his focus off Christ, he begins to sink. And now he's in trouble. His faith has wavered. And so it is with us. We're easily distracted from the things of God, from prioritizing the kingdom of God in our lives. But God is with us if we avail ourselves of him. If we strive to put our trust in him and not in the wind and the sea, the distractions of our temporal life that swirl about us constantly. Faith means repenting when we do sin and immediately striving to get our focus back on Christ. But as Peter evidences to us, faith is hard work. It's hard keeping our focus on Christ. But when we fail to do so, what are the consequences? We can become fearful yet again, bogged down in the mundane of this material world, our pride, our passions, our worldly preoccupations, our self-focus, and we sink. We spiritually sink. And this is when we need to remember Christ's comforting words to us. It is I. Do not be afraid. And so God, in his love and mercy for us, also gives us the tools that we need to keep our focus on him, to repent, to cooperate with the work of healing, growth, and salvation that he's doing in us. These tools are our morning and evening prayers that the church throughout all time has admonished on us believers to pray. The divine services of the church, which often in our busy lives can take a second place. Our fasting, which we can often forget. The lives of the saints, the Holy Scriptures, that we often forget to read because we're too busy. And the sacraments, of course. All of which Christ God offers us and guides us into his church. Now, brothers and sisters, I can tell you from my own life, we don't need just some of these tools of our salvation. We need all of them and more. We need to avail ourselves of Christ at every moment. Otherwise, we're subjecting ourselves again to fear, to sinking again spiritually, to not growing in Christ. And so we come back to our epistle as we conclude and we ask ourselves, what foundation am I building on? Are you making use of the gold that Christ God has entrusted to you as an Orthodox Christian? As St. Paul admonishes us today, let each one take hold and heed how he builds on it. Our building with Christ begins with cooperation and a teachable spirit, praying for an increase in faith and trust in God, striving to keep and get our focus back on Christ. And so let's pray that through growth in faith, through our repentance, that moment by moment turning back to Christ, trusting in God's work in us, that he loves us, that he's working out his salvation in us, that we may continue to grow in obedience, in humility, in repentance, and love for God and his holy church, making use of all the tools that he's entrusted to us. In this way, we'll take several steps forward in faith. We won't sink. We'll be able to be among those who build on the foundation of Christ with gold, and not as those who are saved, as St. Paul warns, as through fire. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst, shall be.